I have a penchant for social justice issues, for issues about minorities, gendered issues specifically. And then if you throw into that the whole Muslim label as well, it becomes a very niche issue. And so myself, I work in the sphere where I chair the Australian Muslim Women's Centre for Human Rights. And that by default means I'm a spokesperson to the media on various issues that impact on Muslim women's welfare. That experience is something that I've had now for about 10 years, and I sort of append that to my work in cross-cultural consultancy, which is speaking to issues of diversity, racism and identity. And the two actually marry quite well.
It's quite a burden actually, though, being the spokesperson for a generation and for a gender, because there's always so many different viewpoints on this, even within one specific cultural area, isn't there?
It is, and I think that in itself is a response that needs to be heard. The fact that there isn't a myopic solution and response to an issue, that there are varied interpretations, there are various perspectives on an issue, whether it's relating to, you know, women's position, women's response, women's status, or women's treatment. There's the cultural view. There's the, I guess, the view held by the media that sees women in a very repressed and oppressed sort of position. And then there's also the view of women themselves, which tends to get lost in the misrepresentation.
So how can we use the media in a way that reaches across cultural boundaries and also across, shall we say, race boundaries as well, so that we have a message that's acceptable, that everyone understands?
I think there's two points. I think there's training of the media itself. And I think the media needs to be receptive to the idea that they maybe don't have all the answers, and that perhaps in engaging with communities in a way that's, in a culture of goodwill to understand, to better, not to tolerate, but to understand, I think promotes a better outcome. But I think it's also incumbent on communities themselves to train spokespersons and people who are capable of addressing the media. Because often when there isn't a spokesperson available, the media will choose the first available person, who tends to often be the worst choice. I could give you many examples of that. But I think there are good spokespersons out there. There are articulate community leaders. And I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about, a wealth of other people who, are successful as writers or scholars, as journalists even, as artists and activists, who are capable and have the capacity to represent the community in a way that's genuine, authentic and positive, and not necessarily going to spin the story the media wants, but rather spin an accurate representation.
I think all groups who are trying to affect social change suffer from this thing of media's perception, and also what the media sees as worthy of representation and promotion. So how can we actually change as consumers of the media in order to actually influence that, so we get closer to a deeper understanding between cultures and particularly between genders and races as well?
I actually think that's happening. I think that process has already happened probably 5 to 10 years ago, when the blogosphere opened up, when the internet opened up, and we have citizen journalists, and we have a culture that encourages citizen journalism as well, so that when people are on the ground, whether it's downtown Byron Bay or whether it's downtown Beirut, you have people with the technology and the means to be able to convey their story, which once upon a time we only relied on major news syndicates to do. And when we did rely on major news syndicates, that was often coloured with a political agenda. So the end product was something very distorted and very, very far from the reality. So I would say the fact that we all, we're deploying social media, whether it's Twitter, whether it's Instagram, whether it's Facebook, we now have access to a wealth of contacts and networks that we never did before, that hold the powers to be to account in a way that was never done before.
Now, earlier today I was talking to Tim Flanner, and he's talking about what he calls the rise of a new type of global consciousness and a complete shift in consciousness. And he sees the internet and the fact that it connects people so intimately, more than any other point in human history, we have this ability to form one mind, to swap opinions and to elevate this. And what you're saying seems to also relate to that too. So it would seem that the outcomes looks very positive, I would think, for improving people's understanding of different cultural relationships.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head. And I think while a lot of governments and powers and authorities have tried to deploy technology to further themselves and their, I guess, their propagandist view of how the world operates, this very same technology has been harnessed by consumers and citizens to actually uncover what is a fallacy. So it's the same technology that will undermine the agenda that they're trying to push. That's as long as people continue to question what they're being fed, as opposed to accept everything. And can I just say, it was very nice of you to mention me in the same sentence as Tim Flannery.
As always, Tim Flannery is moving about 10 to 20 years ahead of the pack, redefining democracy. And of course, the internet and social media, once again, is very integral. I actually feel that politicians, a lot of them, are still very naive about the power that is unleashed through social media. Do you feel that that really definitely going to influence what happens in the future and the way people actually do relate to each other?
Absolutely. And when I think of politicians who've been in the game now for 10, 20 years, who've not perhaps been mixing in the mainstream population in recent history because they're caught up in their own sort of ivory towers, they've not perhaps to the same extent as you and I immersed themselves in the technology upgrade. So they're still thinking circa 80s and 90s, and they don't appreciate the nuances of how sophisticated and pinpoint this technology can be in mapping their location, what they're doing, who they've met, what they've said. Which never happened in the 70s and 80s, or 90s really. So they're not all of them, but I'd say the vast majority don't appreciate the extent and power of the media and technology and internet the way that the average citizen does. And that is why things are coming unstuck, which is great.